Blog Talk Radio.
Sitting and sober, God, it's been so good.
Oh, hey. You've been good enough. You've been better than good to me.
God has had my back in the midst of my enemies, and I ain't even have to be there. I have grown to many cities, friends not very many, for God took care of me and my children. I'm so connected to the air that I breathe, the ocean and the sea,
the mountains, the skies, and the trees.
I'm gonna get everything that belongs to me.
Good
to
Hello, and thank you for coming to coming on air with us this evening and to the Burnham Health Foundation Metroplex Bus. I am Burnham Thomas Milton, your host, with special guest Nancy Alvarez from the Small Business Administration 8A Development Program. And Nancy, are you here? I'm trying to find your number. Are you on the air? No, I'm trying to find her. I think we may have a
muted. Hello?
Nancy, I have you.
Hello?
I think I had you muted. I'm sorry.
That's okay. You can hear me now, right?
I can hear you now. I just didn't know which number you were calling in on. I'm sorry. Hello. How are you this evening?
I am doing fantastic. How are you?
I'm trying my best. Nancy, it's been a long day. This has been a very, very busy day. But I'm so thankful that I was able to get on here tonight. Okay. Nancy, I want you to tell everybody about who you are and what your position is there with SBA. I know it, but I want you to explain to them who you are and what you do for SBA. And I want everyone to know that if you want to have any questions for her, just call the 563 number, this 563-999-3739. And always push the number 1, and we can see that you want to come on the air and have a question for her. Also, Nancy, during our break, we're going to have some announcements also that I want to talk to them about as well. But I'm going to let you go ahead and explain about SBA and what your position is there with SBA.
Absolutely. A little bit about myself. And before I start, I want to say hello to everyone and thank everyone for taking some time to join us today and learn a little bit about SBA government contracting. I started with the SBA back in late 90s, 97. I went into a position of business development specialist at the time. They switched titles eventually to what's called a business opportunity specialist. And so I was one of the assigned specialists under the 8A Business Development Program.
Mm-hmm.
And 8A is just the reference to the Small Business Act. The Small Business Act basically authorizes the SBA to implement and execute the 8A Business Development Program. So I've been doing that, or I did that till 2011. And in 2011, I ended up here. I got a promotion and came to the SBA Dallas-Fort Worth District Office, where I became the supervisor for the 8A Business Development Program. And so my job here is basically to, I have oversight of the program, make sure that I provide information on how to do business with the federal government. We give you information on the certification. And also under the 8A Business Development Program, if you apply, you're admitted into the program, then we service your firm for a term of 9 years. So I'm very excited here in the Dallas-Fort Worth District Office. We service 72 counties. And again, we do a little bit of everything. So we do federal contracting. We assist small businesses start and expand. If you're in a disaster, we also assist with disaster assistance. And so, again, it's just a pleasure to be here tonight. So I'm going to turn it back to you, Verna.
Well, Nancy, I want to thank you for coming on. And I want everybody to know that we are being heard all across the world. I've got my nephew who lives in London even told me that he tunes in every now and then. But I thank God for this podcast. And if you're listening from New York or California, I want you to know that what we are bringing you this month is government opportunities, which is all over the world. SBA service the whole United States. These opportunities and contracts is for everyone that's from all over the nation. And one of the things I wanted to share, Nancy Alvarez, along with other federal agencies, has always been there for me. And I want to thank you, Nancy, because this is not just the first time you have helped me tonight. You all have been with me for the last 3 years when we was working for the colleges, having workshops there in the colleges. So she's not only a supervisor for SBA, but she's a good friend. And I want to thank you again for coming on. Would you explain to the audience, for instance, 8A? I remember when I had 8A, and I think I had to report every month or something like that. What is the ups and the downs about 8A? I know you said certification for 9 years. For 9 years, what do a small business have to do and they must do to stay there and stay with good standing with SBA?
Sure. And let's for the audience who probably didn't join us when I did the first, if I can summarize, you know, a little bit about government contracting and why do government contracting. And, you know, as I said in the previous podcast, you know, the government buys billions of dollars of goods and services every year. And it reserves 23% of those purchases for small businesses to compete. This is what the government calls a small business set aside. So anyone can do business with the federal government, but if you want to play in the small business arena, meaning you're only going to compete with other small businesses, then you might want to take advantage of some of these small business set-aside certifications so that you can participate. So the other thing that I wanted to highlight is there's plenty of information on certifications on our website, sba.gov/contracting. But I want to say that there are five certifications, and those five certifications are small business, small disadvantaged business, the women-owned small business, which includes economic disadvantage, historically underutilized, and the service-disabled veteran-owned small business. So those procurement goals are tied to this government contracting that I'm talking about, and I'm going to highlight a little bit about the 8A program in a minute. But these goals, again, the primary goal, which is small business, is 23%. There's another one for small disadvantaged business, which includes 8A companies. So you participate in the program. That procurement goal used to be 5%. Under the Biden administration, it has gone up to 12%, and it is scheduled to go up to 15% by 2025. There's also a 5% for women-owned, a 3% for historically underutilized, business owners and 3% for service disabled veteran homes. So with that said, let's jump into the 8A program. So as you were saying, Verna, the 8A program is an excellent tool for a small business. They need to be in business for 2 years. Very important. And throughout the 9 years of the program, it's a nine-year program, it's a one-time eligibility both for the company and the individual. So there are certain criteria that you have to meet. And once you are admitted into the program, then you will be provided business development. And what does that entail? So business development entails we sit with you, we explain to you how the government works, we show you how to market to the federal government, we help you identify where the agencies are, and we provide you training on different aspects of government contracting so that you can be successful. The goal of the program is really to help small businesses be competitive in the federal marketplace eventually, right, without the SBA's assistance. So after the 9 years when you graduate, we're hoping that every business can now compete within the federal government without the need of this 8A certification. They can still use other certifications, but, you know, the 8A is a program designed to assist the companies learn the government arena, how to do business with the government, and, you know, potentially grow your business and, again, continue once you're out of the program. So as part of that program, we will do reevaluations every year. You would do eligibility determinations, and we do what's called a business development review, where we go back, we look at your business plan, what were the objectives of the business plan, have you achieved those objectives, and if you haven't, then what else can we suggest for you to do to reach your goals? So it's a very interactive program in that you are assigned a business opportunity specialist to work with you throughout the 9 years. Ooh. And so we're serving as guides, kind of a hands-on approach to help you become competitive in the federal marketplace. So back to you, Verna.
You know, Nancy, after the pandemic, I thought I wasn't going to come back strong with the government because of my health and my age. But since I just heard what you said, I think I'm going to sign back up for that 9 years. I hope the Lord will let me stay here for nine more years. I'm just saying. But this is fantastic because I did not know that you have your own personal coach to stay with you those 9 years, I mean, to kind of guide you. I've been in business for almost 30 years. And so I know we qualify for the length of business, but I did not know I would have a coach to actually stay in there with me on every contract. Because some of these contracts right today that I'm looking at is set-asides. All of them is set-asides. And for instance, one of them that I just inquired about that have extended the day, but they will not allow another walkthrough for us to come down and actually look at the plans, and we can't really quote them properly unless we actually go there and look at those plans for those from wall to wall to see how many square footage. But again, still, they have extended it. And I would like to know what would something, and this is a really big airport that we're working with. So I'm trying to see what would you do or suggest to a small business that was up against something like that?
Yeah, so, you know, government contracting can be difficult at any level, right? At the city, state, local. You've been in business for 30 years. I know you've done business with the city of Dallas. You've done business at the federal level, and so, you know, it's a little different from market to market, right? In the federal government, we assist our clients. So what we have is a network of resource partners with different expertise. And so, for example, we won't have all the expertise in-house in the SBA. So those expertise that we don't have, for example, how to write a proposal, how to determine your pricing, how to set up your accounting system to comply with the regulations that the government is going to want you to follow, and all that information, which is more technical, we have resources like the APEX Accelerator, which is, you know, used to be the Procurement Technical Assistance Center. You know, they're sponsored by Department of Defense. And here in DFW, they are also sponsored by UTA, the University of Texas in Arlington. So, you know, they're being paid by these entities with the purpose of assisting the public in connecting not only with the state, local, federal government, but also to assist in those technical aspects of contracting, how to write a proposal, how to prepare your capability statement to present your company to the government, anything that you're going to need in terms of technical, it will come from one of our resource partners. Again, those counseling sessions are free of charge, and I always tell small businesses, listen, if you don't utilize all these resources that are available to you as if they were your advisory council, okay, uh-huh, you are not maximizing the use of your tax dollars because you're paying for these resources.
Right.
So I that's what I would advise. And SBA has a lot of training sessions every year. They put out what's called a 7J grant. That grant is to hire contractors to coach and train our small businesses. So the assistance is there.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, you know, Nancy, we are going to have Gregory James on next Thursday. He's with the agency that mm-hmm. you're talking about. And mm-hmm. it's called the Procurement Technical Assistance Center. And Gregory, too, has been out to our free workshops we have had before, and very, very powerful information that he has for small businesses. But I would like to let everybody know that's listening, even online, that it's paramount that we try our best to help as many as we can small businesses. We are going to try to this year. I've even talked to my board of directors because we need to have a walk-in community development center where people can actually sit down with us and we can talk to them and steer them in the right directions, as well as actually teach them how to get certified with SAM and how to get certified with the Small Business Administration, how to get their certification and to talk with somebody there from your office. So trying to open up this particular community development center here in the Garland area, that's what we're trying to do. But there's a lot of people that's in business today that do not know what they're doing. Like, for instance, if you have a box truck or some 18-wheelers that you actually, you know, have on the road, but you want to do business with the government, can they also, people who own companies like that, can they also get a 9-year contract with the government if they're 8A?
Well, let's clarify. They don't get a contract for 9 years. They're in the program for 9 years. They can get a contract. Contracts are mostly a base and 4 years, which, you know, they're averaging 5 years. Mm-hmm. If they do a 10-year vehicle, which they have done, they don't do them too often. And the reason why they don't do them too often is because, number one, it's time-consuming for the government. And number two, it also limits the competition because then no one else can perform in that contract other than those that applied and were accepted under that contract vehicle. So, mm-hmm. Again, you know, the government tries to make these contracts, you know, for 5 years. You know, it's really 1 year with 4 options, meaning the government right. can renew and most of the time does renew for the remaining option years. So you can end up with a five-year contract. And then certainly there are other contracting vehicles that, you know, are not based on year. They're task orders. So you get that contract, you get that task order, which tells you what they need. You complete that job, and basically that's it. You'll wait for another task order. So, again, there's different kinds of contracting vehicles. Mm-hmm.
Nancy, let's back up again. You said there was passport. You call it a passport?
No. I was talking about I was talking about the 9 years in the program versus the contract. So the program is a 9-year program. The contracts can vary from 5 years to 10 years.
I see. Okay.
Okay. And then there are some contracts that are basically a task order. And a task order is basically, I need 10 computers, and so you facilitate those computers, you deliver them, and basically you're done with that. So okay. You just wait for another task order.
Test.
So there are different types of contracting vehicles, yes.
Okay. All right. In talking with you, I wanted you to see, I mean, to kind of share with us also, I tell people all the time about the executive order, because I was just floored when I saw the executive order when it came through back in 2020, I think it was, when the government put out that they buy $650 billion worth of goods every year. And they were actually putting out, I think they was guaranteeing small businesses set aside for like maybe 20% or 25%. You know, it's going up to, I think, the 25% now of that monies. So can you kind of talk about that a little bit, or are you allowed to tell us about that for SBA?
Sure, yeah, sure. So we've been doing business under this federal acquisition regulation for several years. What has happened recently, or not recently, it's been going on now for 10 years, is that the government has seen a decline in the industry base, meaning the number of small businesses that are available to pursue these contracts. And so within these past year, while we're seeing a decrease in the number of participating firms, we're seeing that the government has increased their buying activities and are doing more business with small businesses. So under the Biden administration, in December of 2021, he issued a executive memorandum where he was increasing the 5% goal for small disadvantaged business, which includes the 8A, from 5 to 12%. And then again, by 2025, it will go up to 15%. So if you want to get an idea what's going on, there's a lot of news going on, buzzing around right now on the internet from some, you know, reliable sources. All you have to do is Google federal contracting small business trends, and you're going to see how you're going to find many, many different articles on, you know, this decreasing trend of small businesses. And so the government understands the need there is for small business to participate in federal contracting. I mean, if you look statistically at the number of small businesses, you know, contributing to the U.S. economy, that's almost 99%. So certainly the government has a vested interest in making sure that small businesses can compete, that are able to compete, and, of course, certainly at the same time can grow their business. So it's job creation, helping the economy, and at the same time, helping small businesses be successful.
Right, right. You know,
yes, you're absolutely right. It's 23%. It's 23% total. So if the government is buying, which right now I think last year or the year before was close to almost $7 billion of goods and services, 23% of that is reserved just strictly for small businesses.
Right, right, right. You know,
we're leaving a lot of money on the table.
I'm telling you, it's a lot to be done. You know, Nancy, I don't know if you remember or not when we had our last workshop there at Eastfield. Mm-hmm. You was there. You was there with Mr. Garza and also Bridget with SB.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I tried to instill the people that were sitting there to talk with them and told them about a little bit about myself. And I'd want to say the same thing tonight. You know, I did not know what I wanted to do when I first started my business. But I prayed a lot. I prayed a lot because I don't know from day to day. Sometimes I don't know how the Lord is going to show me or what he's going to share with me. But I learned that because I needed a job, that I needed someone to help me. So my first particular business that I made was working with a box company for packaging. And this young man who owned Specialty Packaging Company told me he would give me a house account if I would sell boxes for him. And surely enough, that's how I got started. So I learned to be a reseller, distributor from a manufacturing company. I had to learn, though, how to make those boxes, how to die-cut boxes, what it all meant. But that's how I got started. And when I did a walkthrough at his office and his plant, I saw not only did he make boxes, but he made bags that feed go in. He made bags that bread go in. He made bags that meat went in, when you see a little Ziploc. And what I'm saying, when God give you an idea, when he give you something, he don't give you no mess. He give you the best. And that's my testimony. He gives you the best. Because I did not know I was going to learn how to do that much packaging until I did a walkthrough at that man's plant. That's how I got started in business. But I also learned that as a small business, I can do business with other companies who make manufacturer packaging. I'm into flooring. I'm into the sky is the limit of what one can do. So I tell anybody, I just want to be there for them, to help them, pray with them if I need to. I know I will, but I want to be able to do whatever I can to help them to get where we are, where we are today. And small businesses are so much needed by the government. I want to also say that starting my business, I never received the help from the county nor the city like I received from GSA, the government. So the county and the city don't have set aside like the government does. I mean, you are competing with big business, with the city and the county. The government has set aside programs. That's the good, sweet thing about it. So I just want you to let know, we have some hands that's up here that's raised now. Are you ready for some questions, Nancy, maybe? Because we do have some.
Sure. I'm ready.
We're coming back to you, but because you got a lot more to tell us. All right, let me take this caller. And, caller, you on the air. I'm calling from 214-778. Hello?
Yes, Verna, hi. This is Neil. How's everybody this evening?
I'm just fine, Neil. How are you?
Wonderful. My name's Neil Bagui, everybody, and I work with Verna very closely. I like to introduce myself, and I handle Verna's flooring portion. The only thing I wanted to echo on Nancy's comments that is absolutely true, and also tying into what Verna mentioned, I wholeheartedly agree in the assessment that the government is reaching out to small business, not only as to facilitate any kind of structural improvements or anything like that, but even in defense and also in intelligence, we're seeing that trend where the government is bringing in small business. And that's really, really encouraging to see, because there's just so much wasted talent out there and you know, seeking out guidance and help from other entities that might be outside of the scope of the traditional government, you know, expectations. I think they're making a change of course, and I think it's great. So I just wanted to echo Nancy's comments and also your comments, Myrna, as far as, you know, small business being more of an integral part of of how the government operates on a daily basis. That's all. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you, Neil, for your comments. I appreciate that.
Thank you. Yeah, absolutely. Those are great comments. I mean, you know, and it is out there. And it is true. I mean, I've been with the SBA for 23 years, so I'm seeing it. I can see that every year there's a greater need to go out there. And some of our mandates is, you know, go out there and spread the news that, you know, there are contracting dollars out there. You know, you do have to compete for them, but they are available. They are reserved for you. And you're going to be competing with other small businesses yourself. So, you know, there is no disadvantage other than the one. There is no limitation other than the one you place on yourself.
And, you know, Nancy, what I want to also say, and you can comment after I say this about NIC codes, how important NIC codes are, because people sometimes want to know, what can I do? What can I do with the government? What can they buy? What do they buy? I didn't know that at first either. I tell people, you know, don't think that you may have stupid questions, because everybody has stupid questions when it comes to starting a business. So they're not, I won't say stupid, but they question that you don't really know, but you want to learn. And I too had to learn. I had to go in on the NIC codes website and find out, because I had one company that did bags and packaging. I had another company, because once I started with this particular guy, and we had a lot of work, he showed me how to do more work with another friend of his who made not only boxes, but these was called plastic buck containers. That company was called Buckhorn. Buckhorn actually made plastic buck containers that they put everything in, aircraft parts in, and from one to the other. So what I'm saying to you is that we started out with just bags. I also do promotional items as well. But the sky is the limit for us as the government is concerned. So if you don't know what you want to do, go to your NIC codes website and just put the name of what you think you want to do or you can do, and it'll pull up a NIC code. Nancy, can you talk a little bit more about that to them?
Sure. Yeah, I have some information for anyone that's interested, you know, what steps they need to take. Do we have enough time, or do you need to go to break?
Nancy, if I want to take 2 hours, I do, but I just don't. Well, I tell you what, you just get ready.
I wanted to make sure that I'm not keeping you from doing your break. Go ahead.
Well, go ahead and talk about the NIC codes. And when you talk about the NIC codes, then we'll take a break and let Fred. I know Fred is on the air, and I don't know about my attorneys, but I know Fred is here on the airways with us. But please go ahead and talk about the NIC codes.
Absolutely. That's one of the first things that you need to learn. Okay, what's your NAICS code? And basically, the government uses NAICS codes to determine, they assign NAICS codes, North American Industrial Classification codes, to the different industries, and that's how the government looks for vendors. So it is important for you to know your codes. The other reason why you need to know your codes is because if you do want to participate as a small business and pursue these contracts that are being reserved for small business, you have to be a small business. So check out SBA's website and our website. It'll give you the NAICS code and the assigned size. So you'll have to determine the size of your business and it must be small. Mm-hmm. Now, again, there's some help. So if you, you know, if it's a little complicated, don't hesitate to call us at the SBA or one of our resource partners. We will provide you some information that will guide you. But you, it's as simple as putting some keywords. So if you do wallpaper or you do painting, you could put wallpaper or painting. It'll give you different codes, and it will give you the definition. So read the definition, and you'll be able to select which code applies to you. Okay? And mm-hmm. that's the importance of the NAICS code.
Okay. Okay. Now, what we're going to do is just take a little short break. I want everybody to know that Nancy, I want everybody to know that what we do, I'm trying to read my message. There's a lot of people that's texting me also. Okay. What I'm trying to do is to let everybody know that not only do we do this podcast, but we also have our legal workshop. And on Saturday, May the 6th, it was confirmed today that not only are we going to have our pro bono team of lawyers to come, but we have confirmed with the Legal Aid of Northwest Texas team of lawyers, and they're going to have two of their attorneys there as well. And we will be talking about people who may have a custody of their children or being evicted from their homes, and if they have custody of their children and if they have custody of their grandchildren, I'm sorry, are not custody of their grandchildren, but their grandchildren live with them, and if those parents come back to take those children, and you may not want them to go, there's a form you need to fill out, because those parents, if you didn't sign to get custody of those children, you legally do not have custody of those children. So we have lawyers that's going to be there to talk about that, also about the eviction law of them keeping their appointments before somebody sits them out. Just a lot of attorneys there to really help people in need. This is going to be May the 6th at the Mesquite Friendship Baptist Church. And that's my church also. It's located at 680 U.S. Highway 80 East in Mesquite, Texas. So we're going to get started there about 10 o'clock that morning on May the 6th, on a Saturday morning. And we have some fantastic pro bono attorneys and judges. We have Dominique Collins is one of our narrators who moderate the legal clinic, along with Candace Haley, and quite a few more. Bree West is one of our attorneys too. Russell Wilson is one. Victor Lander. All these people is fantastic attorneys. So we will, you've been accompanied to have some fantastic legal help there. So we're asking everybody to come out who may have a problem or want to talk about something on a legal note, and tell your neighbors, tell your friends about it as well. Also, Mr. Fred Walker, I am so happy that he has chosen to be on our board with us to help us with what we need to do in the community. But Fred is so, he's all around guy. And he's the commissioner of the Tiny Homes for Veterans. And I need to know, Fred, if you're here on this air, can you please push 1 if I can know which number you're at? So I don't know. I'm hoping that he'll hear me and push 1, because I don't really know his telephone number. And he's coming on the air with us. I may have to call him, and because I don't see him here. But he's going to be he's one of our board members, but also he's a commissioner of the Tiny Houses for Veterans. And I think we're just going to have to call Fred. I thought he was here on the air with us. 629. He is on the air with me. Why he's not answering? Fred, I see that you're on the air. Would you please, are you there? Okay. I'm going to have to call him and let him, because he don't hear me, and I do not have him muted. He's listening. But he's kind of old like I am, so we're not going to talk about Fred. But, okay. Let's see if we get him on the line. Fred, you're going to have to hit one if you're listening. Okay. He's on the airway. I see him here, but he's not punching the number one. But anyway, we'll come back to him once he come on the line. I'll send him a text message and tell him he may be on another call. But I'm gonna let you, Nancy. Are you okay to come back on?
Yes, I'm good.
Okay. Well, let's continue until he get off of a. He may be on a conference call right now, but he'll be back on. So
okay.
I'm gonna go ahead and let you continue because we have enough time. We have time.
Yes. Okay. So what I would like to do is, you know, if anyone is interested, I just want to clarify some of the steps that they'll need to do. You know, every time I run across anyone that is interested in doing business with the government, I know their time is valuable. So the first thing that I recommend is that they do market research. And so what you want to do is you take your NAICS code, your North American Industrial Classification code. Once you see what your size is and that you're a small business, you want to see whether or not there's a market for you, right? You're going to try to find out who in the federal government buys your product or your service. So you do that by going to a website, and I'll give you the name. It's called the Federal Procurement Database. Next Generation, and the website is www.F as in federal, P as in procurement, D as in database, S as in system, period, G-O-V, as in government.
Okay.
And basically the FPDS offers the general public access to the government spending patterns. And this is at no cost. So you take your NAICS code, you go to the website, use that NAICS code, use your primary NAICS code. And your primary NAICS, you can have multiple NAICS code, but your primary NAICS code is going to be that code where most of your revenues are coming from. Do a search. So once you enter the website, you're going to see the box that says EC Search.
Mm-hmm.
Go to the EC search and enter your NAICS code. The report, it's going to generate a report that will identify the top 10 federal agencies acquiring goods or services under that NAICS code. So you take that, highlight at least the three top agencies, and you want to work with those agencies and see further how they're doing in reaching their small business goals. If they are not meeting their women-owned and you are women-owned, you know, that is a potential marketing strategy for you. So, again, there's a lot of information. If you want more information on doing business with the government and you would like a counseling session with a counselor, whether that is the Apex Accelerator, a Small Business Development Center, SCORE counselors, or Women's Business Center. We even have a Veterans Business Center here locally at the DFW area. You can go to our website at www.sba.gov/local-assistance. Okay, or if not, you could go directly to www.sba.gov. and click on local assistant, which will be on the top right-hand side corner of the website.
Mm-hmm.
Enter your zip code, and it will give you all the local resources near you. You can contact them and schedule either a virtual conference call or you can schedule an in-person appointment. So the assistance is available.
Okay, okay.
Back
very
to you,
good.
Back to you, Verna.
Okay, well, what I've just sent Mr. Walker a text message about having him on for at least 2 or 3 minutes, but he haven't pushed the number one. But for all people who want to come on the air and to have a conversation with us, all you have to do is call the number 563-999-3739 and hit the number one. So in order for us to know that you're on the air, just hit the number one, and we can bring you on to talk. Now, what I wanted to tell people is about that next, this coming Saturday at 10 o'clock, they're going to have a fantastic breakfast as well as, this is for veterans also, a breakfast as well as a lecture panel about ownership, housing, business, and development. And this is with the small houses, tiny houses for veterans. The address for this event is going to be 7303 University Hills, which is the old Houston School Road street, which is right across the streets from UTA in on University Hills Road. That's right at the Camp Wisdom and Houston School Road, old Houston School Road intersection. So there's been a lot of land that was purchased there for these small houses, and I know that you would want to hear about that. Also, if you want to call them, their telephone number to know more information, you can call them directly at 214-629-7428. So that's their number. You can also put a call into them for that. Now, Nancy, we have some time left, and I do want to talk about a little bit more about the business, because there's a lot of people here that wants to do business. So I want to talk about the avenue that SBA can, I mean, you said like they can have SCORE, they can get the SCORE. Is there a telephone number for SCORE consultants that more may want to get, help them maybe fill out their paperwork, or how do they actually contact you? Do you have a telephone number or a SCORE number, I mean, a number for SCORE to give them?
I don't have a number for SCORE because it's based by location, but like I said, if we go to the website, the SBA website, and you click on local assistance, just put your zip code in there, and it will give you the nearest. So I could give you, for example, the one for close to our office in Euless. Let's see. Let's try that one. We want the SCORE business. So we select the resource we're trying to get, and then we will see a listing of them. So the first one, based on NAICS code 76040, it highlights here the Fort Worth SCORE chapter, and they do have a number there. The number is 817-871-6002. They also have one in Dallas. This is the Dallas SCORE chapter, and their number is 214-987-9491.
Very good.
We also have another SCORE chapter in East Texas. I think you're in East Texas, right, Verna? East Texas, and that is 903-510-2975.
I see. Okay. Okay.
Okay. So very helpful resources. Absolutely. There's plenty. I would like to say, Verna, that, you know, if we have anyone in the audience that's listening that has had a challenge or has questions regarding government contracting or potentially anything that, you know, you're concerned or myths. There's a lot of myths out there about doing business with the federal government. So call in to the number that Verna gave you, 563-999-3739. And we'll take your call and hopefully be able to answer your question.
Okay.
That's
well, we have one caller here, and go ahead, caller, at 817-808. Are you still listening?
Yes, thank you. Very good show. I have a question. There's a lot of codes, a lot of different acronyms throughout there. And for those that are just starting out and they want to know where do I start, and like maybe a flow chart from start to finish, because it can be intimidating. I'm sure both of you have heard that before. So what would you mm-hmm. say to someone that's green is, I don't know what, but they have questions, but they want a flow chart, like from start to finish, what would you recommend, any one of you recommend?
Yes, we actually have some marketing material, and it's really a roadmap as well. But I like to use our resource guide, which is on our website. Once you're on our website, go to where it says federal contracting. And it's going to give you a couple of different options. It's going to give you contracting guide. It's going to give you contracting assistance programs. And it's going to give you counseling and help. So in that contracting guide, when you're there, it's really a step-by-step approach. It has a couple of links. The first one is assessing your business, which is what we tell everyone. You want to determine whether or not you have the technical and financial capacity to perform on contracts, right? So it gives you kind of some guidance on how to do that. And then it says once you finish with that, go to the basic requirements. What's the basic requirement? And it's going to talk to you about, okay, getting the proper registration and ID numbers, you know, meeting the size standard and finding out how you look at that and how you do that. Then it's going to take you to register your business. And Sam, this is really a step-by-step. If you go to this guide and you click on each one of those links, it's going to take you a step-by-step process to get you through this whole process.
Okay, thank you
very
much.
That's a very good question. Excellent.
Thank
you. We have another caller that has their hand up. Let me press on this. Okay, a caller from 214-228. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi, this is Wilma, and I have a small business, a box truck. And I have a question about the women-owned, about the certificate. How do you go about getting just the women-owned, or you have to do all of the certificate? You're talking about for 9 years.
No. For the 9 years, only the 8A program. For the women-owned business certification, if you meet the criteria, and I'll highlight the criteria, is pretty simple, you would go to SBA's portal to get certified. The eligibility criteria for the women-owned is that, first and foremost, like any other certification, you have to be considered a small business according to SBA size standards. You have to at least be 51% owned and controlled by a woman who is U.S. citizen. And that woman has to manage the day-to-day operations of the business and make the long-term decisions of the business. So if you meet that criteria, then you just go to SBA's portal. And in this webpage that I was giving this gentleman before, I talked about the three blocks that were in here, three subjects. If you go to contracting assistance program, which is the next box, it will highlight our contracting assistance program, which starts with small disadvantaged business, women-owned small business federal contracting program, veterans contracting assistance program, the 8A business development program. It also has a mentor per J program information, which, you know, if you're in business and you need a mentor, you can certainly participate in this program. And the rest are just really tools that you can use to penetrate the federal marketplace, like joint venture. You can find another small business to joint venture to perform on a contract. And then, like, if you need technical assistance, like writing proposals and things like that, remember I highlighted earlier that training, that grant? It's called the 7J Management and Technical Assistance. It's the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. It's the 7 link down. And it will tell you who the contractors participating are and the type of training that they have to offer. So, again, lots and lots of information on our website.
Very good. Very good.
Okay.
So did she answer your question, Wilma? Everything that you need to know?
Mm-hmm. Yes, but I got one more question. So if I need assistance, I can get someone to help me make sure I'm filling it out correctly?
Absolutely. We have several resources. We have a Women's Business Center here in Dallas. Just Google Women's Business Center, or if not, you can certainly contact me or email me, and I'll be more than happy to put you in contact with the Women's Business Center. My email address is Nancy, my first name, N-A-N-C-Y, period. My last name is Alvarez, spelled A-L, V as in Victor, A as in Apple, R-E-Z, as in zebra, at sba.gov. That's my email address. And you can certainly email me and request any information that you feel you need.
Okay. And I have one more question. Is there, they do grants or anything, SBA grants? Is there a place where you can go and fill out that ed or?
So SBA, is very limited on the grants. The grants that we have are under this program called 7J Management and Technical Assistance. It's for non-for-profits or businesses that are for profit that provide business development and business coaching to small businesses. But you can visit the grants.gov website. That's where all the federal agencies will post their grant offerings. So you can select the agency, either SBA, or you can leave it and say all federal agencies and the type of grant funding that you're looking for, and it will give you the listing of agencies and the type of grants being available and how to apply for them. Again, okay. The website for that is www.grants.gov.
All right. Thank you so much.
Okay. You're welcome.
Okay. Yeah, if anyone else have any questions, make sure you dial the 563-999-3739 and hit the number 1 so we can see your hand. I mean, you see that you're there and you want to ask a question. And again, I want to say to all the audience, I appreciate them coming on tonight and welcome them to come back and hear us next week. We're going to have Mr. Gregory James with the Procurement Technical Assistance Centers, who also works one-on-one with small businesses. And it's just amazing how there's so much help out there for people who want to go in business, people that are in business already, and the sky is just the limit. And I'm so thankful we now have a flooring company that's going to be working with us. I mean, they put down stone, tile, carpet. They do every type of flooring that anyone can need or ask for. So with the many contracts that's out there, even with the prime contractors, we could be a subcontractor. So there's a lot of avenues that one can go and can do, and I'm very thankful for them to coming on and to join us and to be a part of our organization. So, Nancy, let me ask you something, Nancy, before our time run out. If one wants to be a reseller, distributor, how much tell me a little bit about that. How do that work? Or is a small business actually being a resale distributor? How far can we, how much of a contract can we get, many contracts can we get with that?
Sure, and that's an excellent question, and it's a lot more complicated than what it sounds, but I'm going to try to summarize it and try to make it as simple as possible. So any individual that is a distributor, okay, does not take possession of the items, is considered a broker for the SBA and mm-hmm. not eligible to participate for small business set-aside programs, okay? That's the difference. So now if you're a distributor and you take possession or you take that product and maybe rewrap it or, you know, put some sort of seal or branding on it and change it a little bit to deliver it to the federal government, then you can compete for what's called manufacturing contracts or products, okay? And mm-hmm. under those programs, you can compete for contracts that are reserved for small businesses. Now, if you are a manufacturer, then you need to meet the size standard. And the size standard usually for manufacturing companies is between 500 and 1,500 employees. So you have mm-hmm. to be below that in order to compete as a manufacturer. Also, if you are allowed under the conditions that I highlighted as a distributor to provide a service, if you're not going to compete for a small business set-aside, you must provide the product of a small business manufacturer. Okay, so mm-hmm. those are the stipulations. Like I said, it gets a little bit more complicated because definition of a manufacturer or distributor, you know, can vary in terms of what you're doing with the product. Are you, you know, creating the product? Are you putting it together? Are you assembling it? Or, you know, are you just drop shipping? And if you're just drop shipping, you're considered a distributor, then, you know, there are no set-asides for distributors.
I see. But if you're a small business distributor,
mm-hmm.
can you participate in the set-aside program?
If you are acquiring, uh-huh. if you're acquiring your product from a small business manufacturer, yes.
I see. Okay. That's what I needed to know. That's what I needed to know. Okay. Well, if anybody, we have gone over 60 minutes, but I want to announce again about the event that's going on. And I do not see Mr. Walker, who has raised his punch to number one to come online, and I see that he's still here online, but he's having. Fred, are you still there? Hello, Mr. Walker. I see his number here. He's here, but he happened to push the one to come on. But Mr. Walker is the commissioner of the Veterans Small Houses. They actually have acquired the land to build more houses there at their facilities that they're going to be meeting. And that's going to be this Saturday at 7303 University Drive, University Hills in the Oak Cliff area, right off of I-20 and University Hills Drive, a boulevard. So I want everybody to know about that. That starts at 10 o'clock that morning. If you want further information about this program, please call 214-629-7428. And also, I want to continue to let people know that next Thursday will be Mr. Gregory James with the Procurement Technical Assistance Center that will give us more information about how they can help small businesses and what all they do when they go out and work with small businesses. Nancy, you've been fantastic tonight, and I just want to let you know that we appreciate you. We hope that you'll come back. We're going to do another small business workshop, possibly within, we'll give you 2 months to rest, and we'll come back for you. And I want to also reiterate before we go that do not forget the May 6th legal workshop that's going to be going on at my church also. I attend there. So you can also join me on Sundays if you like at the Mesquite Friendship Baptist Church, which is located 680 U.S. Highway 80 East. That's in Mesquite, Texas. That particular legal workshop will be from 10 o'clock to 1 o'clock, and we have confirmed today that we will have attorneys from the Legal Aid of Northwest Texas. That's a team of lawyers that help people with their evictions, with their circumstances, also expungement paperwork, as well as guardianship. We will have also expert attorneys there, Candace Haley, who represent wills, estate planning, and probate court. So come out and be with us on May 6th and whatever, and bring, tell your neighbor about it and come out and be with us. We would appreciate trying to help you and as much as we possibly can. Again, thank you, Nancy. I thank God for you. I thank God for allowing me to be able to do this. So until next week, we're going to see you all and hope you have a nice weekend. Thank you so much for joining us and good night. Nancy, do you want to have a little bit more? All right. Good night, Nancy. Thank you. Okay.
For the soul that was lost.